seven large lumpy Labrador retrievers.
Hello and welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast. I am your host, Nathaniel Washburn, back with another episode for you. So you know what's going on. And as always, I am coming to you from the Amplify Studio right here in our main library in beautiful downtown Peoria. And I am excited. Today we have a true friend to the show back again in studio, local author, superstar, out with a new book. And I'm excited to talk about C.B. Wilson's new book, Labrador to Death. C.B., how are you doing today?
Fantastic. I'm so happy to be here today.
Thank you so much for coming. You've become such an awesome friend to our show, and it's so great whenever you come on. Our listeners love it. You always have great stories as well as wonderful works to share with us, and we have a brand new book coming out, and we're going to get into that. So Labrador to Death, and this one is a little bit different. Why is it just a bit different?
Well, this particular one book focuses on bat dogs.
And you might think superhero, right? But no, bat dog is exactly what, CB?
Bat dogs are replacing bat boys in baseball.
I love it. Although my son was a bat boy, so I'm a little torn, but a bat dog is just amazing, and dogs themselves are amazing, and this is what the new book is centered around, correct?
That is correct, and it begs the question, has America's pastime gone to the dogs?
It sounds like it might be headed that way, but we're going to jump into that in just a second. I'm going to come back and interview CB about what she's up to, because she's up to some amazing things, and she has some awesome things going on, not only with her book, but also some appearances that she's going to be making, and she is putting her work to good use in helping out some rescues, as well as we're going to talk a little bit more about these bat dogs. So I will be coming back with CB in just a minute, but I do want to remind everybody, we have a ton of events going on. I'm not going to get to them all, but I'm going to share what I do have, starting with the 48th annual Dolly Sanchez Easter celebration. It is finally here this Saturday, March 30th, 8 to 12. I've talked about this quite a bit. It's always a good time. Make sure you make your way out to the Peoria Sports Complex, 8 to noon, because they're going to have tons of things for families, candy giveaways. There's Cottontail Lane. You can meet the Easter Bunny. So make sure you make your way out there. It's going to be a great time. Again, that is 8 to noon, Peoria Sports Complex this Saturday, March 30th, and it's going to be a great time. Also, I found this and I had to talk about it because this is just, you can't pass this one up. We have in Peoria at the Peoria Centennial Plaza, which is the park right behind City Hall, the first annual Spam Slam. I know. I love this. And I am not... I've had Spam a few times in my life, but the fact that we have a festival for Spam, I couldn't pass this up. This is fantastic. So I want to give you the information about the first annual Spam Slam AZ Festival right here in Peoria. This goes from 11 to 6. It is a free event. There's going to be live entertainment, food vendors, and you're going to want to come because they're going to have the best Spam dish competition. I've heard you can do amazing things with Spam. We're going to find out. So if you are free on Saturday, March 30th, after the Easter event, because the Easter event ends at noon, head on over to Centennial Plaza. It goes from 11 to 6 for the first annual Spam Slam. Let's see what Spam can do for you. All right. Also coming up, we have some awesome events coming up at the library. And starting with, we are back with our authorpreneurship, which is happening at Sunrise Mountain Library, April 17th from 10 to 12. And this is in conjunction with ASU's J. Orrin Edson Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute at Arizona State University. So this is with ASU in conjunction with ASU and our libraries. We did this last year and we are doing this again. This one is at Sunrise Mountain. And guess who's going to be there? CB's over here raising her hand. CB Wilson will be there in person, but make sure you mark your calendars. Wednesday, April 17th, 10 to 12, there is going to be an authorpreneurship with CB Wilson over at Sunrise Mountain Library. Last thing I wanted to tell everybody about is also in April at Peoria Main Library, we have our annual Library Con. This will be the second annual Library Con event happening April 20th from 10 to 1 at Peoria Main Library. If you were at last year's, you know how awesome it was, how much fun it was. There's going to be a trivia competition, a cosplay contest again, retro games to play, a lightsaber combat performance. I mean, really, this is the one-stop shop for all things Comic-Con, cosplay, just everything that you want. Come on over on April 20th, Saturday, April 20th from 10 to 1 to the Peoria Main Library for our second Library Con event. It's going to be fantastic. So, as I said, a lot going on. So excited about the things that are happening right here in Peoria, right here in our backyard. But we are going to shift gears and we're going to turn to the interview portion, and we're going to come back to CB, our good friend of the show who's been on so many times. CB, usually I start with the how did you end up in Peoria, those type of things, but you've done that so many times now. If you want to know where CB's from and kind of her journey, you can definitely listen to some of our previous podcasts. I wanted to jump right into this new book that you have out, CB, Labrador to Death. And as I said in the open, it's really a different cozy mystery for you because it's centered around baseball. So let's just start out with you talking a little bit about this newest book and where did you come up with the idea? How did this all come about?
Well, the fun part about this book for me was meeting a real bat dog. Frankly, I didn't even know what a bat dog was.
Like I said, you probably thought superhero, right?
Exactly. I spent a couple of days with Ripken, the Durham Bulls bat dog.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how exciting that was to be standing on the field where the Durham Bulls are playing a baseball game.
That is cool.
And watching the dog work. Who knew? And just to give you an example, so the game itself was a little on the slow side. First inning, no hits. And you just sort of stand around and wait. Second half of the second inning, Durham Bulls get their first hit. And it's a double. And the crowd claps their hands, applauding the hitter. All of a sudden, the dog comes running out to get the bat, and the entire stadium stands up and starts chanting his name.
So the players are out there, they're playing, but it's the dog that's getting the standing ovations.
And that is what I found so fascinating about it.
I bet.
So fast forward two more innings and the dog has done his duty at this point. And I'm like, he only works for four innings? What is this?
Well, how much are they paying this guy?
Exactly. Well, so here's what happened. We go from the field up to the first level of the stadium. And this stadium, I believe, has three levels, if I remember correctly. So it's first level. He was mobbed by fans.
Wow.
I couldn't believe how many people were waiting in line to get a selfie with Ripken.
Ripken, the superstar dog.
It was incredible. So I have to tell you, I start a book out normally when I'm inspired by a particular breed of dog and kind of base a story around it. Well, this one wrote itself as I'm standing in the field going, hey, the book is not about Ripken, but it's about a bat dog that goes to Barkview.
Okay.
And what it's like for the bat dogs, what the bat dog's life is like.
Okay.
Because Ripken can't go anywhere without having people standing around looking for pictures and
He's more popular than the players. He's a superstar.
Don't tell the players that.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, we don't want to hurt their egos, but they probably have figured this out, I'm guessing. But so Ripken, so you get it, you get this idea to you know, there's this whole bat dog, which is a new element, but you stuck with the theme that has made you so successful because this is still a murder mystery, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
And I think what I liked about tying it into Barkview is that in a dog-centric town, it makes sense for them to have a bat dog of their own, doesn't it?
Of course. And I have to ask, what is the bat dog's name? What is our superstar character in Labrador to Death's name?
Champ.
Of course. Champ the bat dog. You know, That's better. That's no offense to Ripken and the Bulls, but Champ's pretty darn good.
I agree. and Champ has a personality of his own. That's
for
sure.
I bet.
The mystery itself is not necessarily. It's not about the dog. It is about a stolen baseball card.
Oh.
That the dog does, of course, as all Barkview books do in a cozy mystery, mm-hmm. help solve the mystery.
Yes, yes, and probably a valuable. I would think maybe a valuable baseball card in that. So Labrador to Death, and this is your eighth book, if I have that number correct. So your eighth book, and you have done such an amazing, catalog here, because you've been doing this, you found this wonderful formula that just like you said, kind of writes itself. These books are just, they're easy reads, they're fun. You've won awards for having the greatest cozy mystery, the best cozy mystery. In doing this one, was there a different feel to it because it was a little bit different with the baseball element and the bat dog element? Did it feel different writing it?
It did, because what is likely going to happen is it will be a spin-off series.
Okay.
So called Dugout Dogs.
Oh, I love it.
It will be probably at that point more focused on the current bat dogs.
Okay.
Now, for all of you to know, there are real bat dogs, 13 of them in the minor leagues only.
Right. Yes.
And one of them, I mean, names like Brooks. He's out of Trenton. He's with the Trenton Thunder. We have Slider in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, Slider.
Is a
I
lab.
Like that one,
Isn't
too.
That cute?
Love that one, too.
Finn is with the Las Vegas Aviators, and he's a black lab also.
Okay. Do you find that it seems like labs tend to be the predominant breed when it comes to the bat dogs, or is it kind of all over the place?
Well, it tends to be retriever breeds.
Which makes sense.
Golden Retrievers and Labrador Retrievers.
Okay.
At this point. Well, and if you think about what the dog has to do, if go back to what happened on the field at the Durham Bulls field.
Right.
This dog was running out to fetch a bat. Along with the bat, there's a ball there. There's shin guards on the ground. And the dog's job is to only pick up the bat
right.
every single time.
In retrievers are amazing. I have a golden named Finnegan, and it does not surprise me at all to hear that the retriever breed itself is so good at this, because they are super smart dogs. I know this from my own personal experience. I love my dog. He is my best friend. I love my dog. He's great. But it doesn't surprise me that retrievers tend to be the breed that is used in this the most.
Yeah, and the focus.
Yeah, it's what it takes.
Exactly. Yeah. With the crowd cheering his name, how would you not be distracted by that?
You know what's funny about, if it was my dog, it wouldn't faze him. He'd be thinking, when do I get my next treat? When do I get to see mom and dad? That's what makes him happiest, right? And the retriever breeds themselves. They're so loyal. They're wonderful, wonderful dogs. And that's why it just doesn't surprise me that these bat dogs tend to be this breed and do such a great job, and that you found this story here to put together a cozy mystery to ride around, I think is phenomenal.
Well, I think the other piece of this that is really fun is that it brings together the whole concept with rescues.
Yes.
Is that some of these dogs were not bred from puppies. They were rescue dogs that were trained to be bat dogs.
And they are extremely trainable. The retriever breed is extremely trainable, so loyal. And before we move into the, I want to talk a little bit about the rescues and some of the appearances you have coming, but I do want to let everybody know that Labrador to Death, you can get that April 2nd. It is Tuesday, April 2nd. So next week, this book will be available. You can pre-order it right now. And that is through Amazon. Is that correct, CB?
That is correct. You can also pre-order through Barnes & Noble on the printed book.
Okay.
And also through Amazon as well.
Awesome. So make sure you get out, get a copy of this. If you've read CB's books before, you know they are so much fun. They're enjoyable. They're always a great story. And the thing that I love is it's a different breed of dog every single time. And I'm excited. We won't spoil too much, but I'm excited about this spinoff series that you might be onto something here. And as with everything, of course, there's going to be a spinoff, because brilliant minds like CB TV. They just keep going and keep going, and they find new ways to be inventive. So hopefully we can bring you back again down the road to talk a little bit more about the dugout dogs. But let's talk a little bit about what you were mentioning before with some of the work you're doing and the good things that you're doing, the positive outcomes you're having with your work with rescues. And I do want to talk a little bit about the petition that you have for Bat Dogs. We'll come back to that in a second, but let's talk about, you have a couple of appearances coming up, one in San Diego. You also have one right here at Barnes and Noble's in Peoria. What are these appearances about, and how are you incorporating the rescues into them?
Well, these are book signings. And what I do is bring in the rescues so they can show off their dogs at the same time that we have people looking at books about dogs.
Love it. Love it.
And the important thing is what the series is about, which is educating people about the different traits of different breeds of dogs and choosing the right one for your family.
Right. Which is important.
Exactly.
Extremely important.
So bringing rescue in for me was just a natural step, and everybody's very happy to support both the books and the rescues, especially when we're doing appearances.
There is a reason why Ripken gets standing ovations, because people love dogs. They love dogs and they want to help. Dogs are, they're amazing, and people want to help. And animals in general, not just dogs. I'm focusing on dogs, but animals in general, people want to help. And I think what is amazing to me and what I love is you are using the talents that you have and these wonderful works that you've put together for these positive things that are happening in our positive things we want to have happen in our communities with these rescues. And I think that says so much about you and your character of, hey, yeah, this is a book signing. So yeah, this is about CB, but it's also about these dogs and finding good homes for these dogs.
And that's correct. And it's a perfect marriage.
For you, it is, because you're such a dog lover, right? But to use to be able to use what you're doing in such a positive manner, I think it's fantastic. And I appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you.
So you have the Barnes & Noble one. What can people expect at this book signing?
Well, it's from it's on April the 6th from 10 to 2.
Okay.
And what we'll have is... basically, I'll be talking about the book, mm-hmm. and about different parts of Bat Dogs in general,
okay.
as well as the Healing Healers Hearts Rescue. We'll have several dogs there for everybody to meet and to pet and to get pictures with as well.
Very, very tough to say. Healing Healers Hearts. Can't say that.
Don't
three
do
times.
That fast.
But they are going to be out there as well with their dogs, their rescue dogs, and you're going to be there signing books. So this is a great opportunity to come out and meet CB. You can talk with her. Obviously, she'll be there to sign books for you. But very cool. And then you do have a San Diego appearance, you know, as well. I know that's after the one on the 6th. Is that correct?
Actually, the San Diego appearance is on Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
It's this Saturday,
my apologies.
The 30th.
Okay. So you are headed right from this studio to the airport, right?
How'd you know?
Because that's how celebrities roll, CB. They do an interview and then they roll out on a private jet on over to San Diego for another book signing. So, and you're doing the same thing over there, correct?
Well, absolutely, yes. And also, what I meant to also say, at the Barnes & Noble, we'll do a giveaway as well. So you can register to win a little Bat Dog prize package.
Very cool. Very cool. And then you're obviously this weekend, you have the San Diego one, and a similar setup where you'll be doing a book signing, but you'll also have the rescues out there and people can come and see these dogs, but also get a chance to meet you.
That is correct. The San Diego is actually with Labradors and Friends.
Oh, very cool.
So it matches the book.
Yes, it does,
time.
Which makes total sense. And so speaking about these bat dogs that you are, obviously this is an area that you learned about recently and are starting to really bring awareness to, but there is a petition that you have going on right now, and people can sign this petition on your website. There's a QR code that's available, but this is really about recognizing the contributions of bat dogs. And what is this petition all about? Because this is a very interesting subject here.
Well, one of the reasons I started the petition was as I got to know some of the bat dogs in the system, I found out that they're all in the minor leagues, that there are no working dogs in Major League Baseball. And I started asking the question, why?
Interesting.
These dogs are so well trained and they are fan favorites.
Yeah, right.
I don't understand. Well, the petition itself is really just to put in front of Major League Baseball and say, come on, guys, call them up. Give them a chance.
Get them out of the minors. Let's bring them up to the big show, right? It seems to me that there is definitely something that would really resonate with fans, I think, at the Major League level.
I completely agree. And as you look at Major League Baseball, they have specific days that you can bring your dog to the baseball.
The Diamondbacks have the dog days, all of them. The pet, bring your pet to the park.
Exactly. And so what's the difference between bringing your pet other than having a dog that's so highly trained and a professional athlete on the field? It makes no sense to me. So I'd like to hear Major League Baseball come back and say, well, the reason we're not doing it is because of this, which we have not heard yet.
So at least giving us a reason why they haven't called the dogs up to the majors yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. It does make sense. And again, based on your story with Ripken and the Bulls, it really makes sense that this is, the crowd loves it. They get into it. It makes for another element of enjoyable baseball. And they do a lot of charitable work as well. So there's a common connection there with what you're doing with rescues and having some of these local rescues be able to get a voice as well, because the Major League Baseball has a big voice.
Absolutely. I think we can make a difference if we all put our hands together and say, let's do it as a team.
There's no doubt. And I love that, again, you're taking your time to bring awareness to something that is, fun, but also good for the community, and really could be very cool for Major League Baseball, I would think. I would think as well.
I
think they want to get behind something like that, but you never know. They always have a reason for everything they do. So you obviously, like I said, this is a subject that you've been learning a lot. As you were writing, did you get a chance to go and see a lot of these dogs in action, or did you hear stories? Did you look at videos? How did you get to kind of know all about this subject and these bat dogs?
Kind of a little bit of both.
Okay.
The locations of the bat dogs is all over the country. So it became a little problematic to be traveling everywhere to meet them in person.
Get a little costly.
Exactly.
I would think.
So Ripken was my first real in-person meeting.
Okay, so that kind of opened the door for you.
It opened the door, yes. And then it was a lot of phone calls, and I was speaking to a number of trainers just to kind of find out what it would take to train a dog to become a bat dog.
That's a great question.
Wow.
A lot, I would think.
It absolutely does. I mean, you think about what we talked about earlier, the distractions of the crowd chanting their name.
Right.
You talk about the other things that are sitting on the field to be picked up. How do they always get the bat?
Yeah, how do they know?
And what I don't think everybody knows is bats have tar on it.
They do.
So you've got to now desensitize the dog
to the pine tar
mm-hmm. on the bats.
Yeah.
So there were lots and lots of steps involved in this. So if you think about just how highly trained they are, it's quite remarkable.
It is very remarkable. Again, not surprising for a retriever, but very remarkable, because I didn't even think about the pine tar, because my first question on that is that okay for the dog if they put their mouth on it? Which I'm sure it is. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't. But I watch a lot of baseball. I've seen some of the way that the batters use this pine tar. I mean, there's a lot of it on them. It gets on their helmet, on their pants. So it is a great question of how they maneuver and deal with all that. The crowd noise, the pine tar, the bats, and they are able to do it and do it well.
And the short lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
So you may train the dog and it takes 2 years or so, however long it takes to train the dog. Their longevity as a bat dog is rather short.
Okay.
Which leads me to a number of the dogs that are legacies. Like the Thunder.
Okay.
It's the same name for the dog, but it's different dogs.
And they're
take over.
Training these dogs in succession.
Exactly.
So that one dog, and again, like you said, the dog can only do it for so long, which makes a lot of sense to me. But you're constantly having to have that timeline of, I need a new dog. And that's a lot. Definitely a lot.
And the other part I think is to think about is not every dog is suited to this.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So you may try to bring a dog up and you find out a year into the training program that he isn't going to make it.
This one's not going to work out.
Exactly.
This is no champ. That's for sure. So that's a good point too, because you may go through the process and it may not end up working out, which is that's a lot to invest, a lot of time and energy to invest in something that may or may not work out. So a lot there. I I'm just so amazed by the whole bat dog thing. I've watched a couple of videos myself. I've never seen one in person, so now it's a bucket list thing. I definitely need to see a bat dog in person. But when, as you wrote the book, now that the book is finished and kind of you're, you know, doing the petition, what is your overall sense of just this experience that you've had with the bat dog, with writing this book? How do you feel about all this, where you're at?
I learned so much. I've never really been a major baseball fan.
Okay.
But boy, do I have an appreciation now for how this works.
Right.
And learning some of the lingo, and it was a really fun adventure to write this book. And frankly, I look forward to writing The Dugout Dogs.
I am looking forward to that. I think that's very cool. I think that's going to be a really, really neat spinoff for you. And of course, I have to ask, you're still going to continue to give us Barkview, and you're still going to continue to give us the Cozy Mysteries down the road, correct?
I so have to. Like every appearance
your
that
I do. Your fans expect nothing less, CB.
Which is exactly what's happening. Every appearance I come to, someone will ask me, well, how come you haven't written about a schnauzer yet? Or how come there's no French bulldog?
That is, they're kind of taking it personally, aren't they?
They are. And all I can say is so many dogs, not enough time.
There's only one CB, but there's like a thousand breeds of dogs. So hold on. There's only one CB. Let CB cook. She'll do her thing. Let her work. And sooner or later, she'll hopefully get to the breed that you love. So that's really what it's all about, though, is it's about the fans and the people that love your books and how much they want to read your stories. So what's next steps for you, CB? You're traveling all over. You got these signings. You're doing the authorpreneurship. Anything else in the works for you?
Well, I have started the next book.
Okay.
So A Labrador is number 8, but number 9 will be Puppied to Death.
Wow.
So anybody who has ever raised a puppy will absolutely relate to this book.
There's so many people out there that are going to be relating to this book, because it doesn't matter the breed. Puppies are a different breed themselves, right?
Which is exactly why I went down that road. But it will be a French bulldog will be one of the puppies.
Okay.
We have a Labrador puppy and we have a Beagle puppy. So
I love Beagles.
Three of them together.
That sounds like trouble.
Chaos and pandemonium.
Like sounds like trouble, CB. I like where you're going with it. Well, again, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to come on the show. You are such a great friend to the show, and you always are. So when you come in, you have great stories to share, and again, bringing your works to us and allowing me to interview and talk about what you are doing is always so much fun, and I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Always. Oh, you are welcome whenever you would like to come in, CB. And again, I want to remind everybody, April 2nd, next Tuesday, Labrador to Death, all about Champ the Bat Dog and the mystery that he helps solve. That is going to be in stores on April 2nd, but you can pre-order it right now through Barnes & Noble's. And you can pre-order through Amazon.
Yes, you can. You can also click on my website, which is cbwilsonauthor.com, and it'll lead you directly to buy places for the book.
Awesome. So do that. And while you're there, check out this petition for the bat dogs and getting these dogs from the minor league level up to the big show at the major league level. We all want to see it. So make sure you get on and sign that petition. CB, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
And thank you for having me.
You bet. All right. Well, again, my thanks to CB for coming out and joining me. CB, just amazing. And really, I'm wishing you the best of luck moving forward. And I can't wait to get you back. So with that, make sure you're getting out to the events that we talked about, that I brought up earlier in the show, because there's still a lot going on. We are getting close to those hot months. So before it gets too warm, make sure you're getting out and having fun at some of the events that are happening right here in our wonderful city, because there is a lot going on. And I always want to thank everybody for tuning in every single week. As always, you can download this podcast wherever it is you get your podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, or just head to our library's website. It's right on the front. You can click it, listen to it. It's fun and easy. We always have great stories, great interviews. And of course, we always have everything that's going on in the city. So make sure you're tuning in. And until next time, this is What's Up Peoria. Daddy lap, loving, leg lapping, Lars Lumpy Labrador Retriever.